The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I invite young children to go now with Katie to the music room during the sermon and prayers and return to us at the peace.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Be seated. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, 20th century martyr from Germany, held two ideas at the center of his thought and life. And these ideas seem a bit in tension with each other. The first is that Jesus bids us come and die. I always thought that these sayings of Jesus, "Whoever wants to follow me must take up their cross and follow me and give up their life," makes a rather hard slogan to get people to church. Core teaching of our faith: Jesus bids come and die. On the one hand, for Bonhoeffer, on the other, equally important, can't make sense of the whole thing without also saying that Jesus is radically for us. Jesus is radically for us. I think what Bonhoeffer has in mind, very simply, is that there is not one verse, one story of Jesus that is about manipulation or coercion of us. Jesus offers a new life, a way of living as a free gift. He is radically for us and not against us. Every summer, we head our family for vacation. We head to Arkansas. And a few years ago, more than 10 years ago, my hometown, Bentonville, Arkansas, is also the hometown of Walmart, the Walton Foundation. They put like $100 million into mountain biking trail. So Every summer for about 2 weeks, our family become amateur mountain bike enthusiasts. And every summer, somebody ends up in the hospital. Not exactly, but it feels that way. This last year, I had it as my goal. I set myself on a perch to show some of our children, any who would listen, that you could have more fun mountain biking all day without getting injured than mountain biking an hour and getting injured and ending the day, right? Classic cost-benefit analysis. More fun over time. And so I made it very clear. I'm going to go out today and mountain bike with you, child, and we're going to do it all day, and we're not going to get hurt because I'm going to be very careful. And if you're very careful, you're not going to get hurt mountain biking. Well, 1 hour into mountain biking, I was going down the mountain, both hands on the brakes, going real slow, pretty slow, and hit a rock, flung off mountain bike, onto what I immediately perceived as like the sharpest, hardest, unmovable rocks God perhaps ever made. And in that moment, from leaving my seat to hitting those rocks, I had an amazing amount of thoughts go through my head. Thought number one, this is gonna hurt really bad. Thought number two was, I'm never doing this again. And it did hurt a lot. I was all alone, there was nobody around, we were separated, and like I literally kind of had to like pick my arm up to move it. And every day since then, except for yesterday was the first day, I went the entire day without yelping in pain. So it was not pleasant. Jesus bids us come and die. What died there? You know, the use of my arm for a couple of weeks. But spiritually, my sense of being the one who instructs my child died. That I am not under the same possibility of making mistakes. Mistakes my child can make, I can make. And the part of me that died then was that sense of self-puffed upness, which is just what the story is about today. If you look at the Gospel of Mark, the thing that immediately, it's kind of an ellipsis between Jesus sitting down at the table, and in between that, a man comes up to be healed. Jesus repeats one of my favorite phrases, which is it better to heal on the Sabbath or not to heal? But I'm gonna like pigeonhole that for another Sunday. And the man who comes forward suffers from dropsy. And just as you're reading through your Bible, just know that Jesus often has an occasion to heal someone as a literary device. The person suffers, dropsy just is like literal inflammation from like fluid, like literal puffed upness. And so he heals this person, they go away, and Jesus looks about and he sees the story that we just heard, which is they're about to sit down at table and everyone's looking around for position. Position of status, position of power. Just want to say, for me personally, I used to read this passage in a different way than I see it now, which is that Jesus is offering something almost akin to like practical advice, which is like, if you want to get ahead, start at the back. Like, it's much better practically if you're trying to make an impact in your community, if you start from the back and get called up, than to start in the front and get sent to the back. That it's almost like Machiavellian. Machiavellian. Yeah, that's right. Okay. That it's a cost-benefit analysis, how to have impact. But thinking about what Bonhoeffer has to suggest for us, Jesus bids us come and die. Jesus is radically for us. I think what Jesus is suggesting in this passage is that we try to die or take rest from the whole world of competition, of thinking about our society at writ large, but also the groups that we're in, whether that be at school or here on our church staff, you at your work or in a retirement community, that we die to this constant sense of advance and competition and who's got more money, who's got more status. That entering into the world of Jesus, Jesus being radically for us, frees us from this sense that we're in competition with each other. That if we are radically for each other, as Jesus is radically for us, it frees us from always this incessant need or habit to evaluate the room on levels of power and wealth and status. That's the sense of literal salvation or liberation, that those needs, those desires, that way of living, they're chains. They captivate us into a world that gets worse every day we participate in it. And so, in order to be radically for each other, there's a part of us that has to die. That part of us is the puffed up part. The part of us that's always thinking about advance and about status. Jesus thinks also, there's plenty of, come on in, take a seat. And Jesus makes it just like real clear. I always love it for Jesus that there's both the parable, and then he just like cuts to the chase, which is like, okay, by the way, if you have died to yourself, if you are radically living for the other, guess who are the people you're going to likely be to invite to your table fellowship? The poor, the crippled. Jesus will say in other places, the imprisoned. The immigrant. When the gospel writers write their letters, they're thinking, of course, of capturing Jesus' life, but they're also thinking about us. The church was already meeting. And so oftentimes Luke and Matthew and Mark and John, when they talk about Jesus sitting at the table, they mean for all of us to be thinking very directly about this table, about our table fellowship. That to be true people of faith and conviction, we must be a community and a church that is radically defined for others. When we gather around this table, we have invited those on the margins of our society to join us, not out of pity, but out of radical forness of others, that it brings us joy to welcome immigrant, the poor, that we see God most clearly, that we see ourselves more clearly, that we live free and liberated lives in that welcoming. As our city struggles with these things, as our country struggles with these things, Bonhoeffer, who grew up in Germany, was writing in the 20s, became radicalized in his own thought about what it would call him to be. As a Christian, he was radically committed to nonviolence, But as the war got worse, as Germany disintegrated more and more, he discerned that physically stopping Hitler was what, as a Christian, he was called to do. He was involved with an assassination plot on Hitler's life. It failed, obviously. He was captured. And that text, Jesus calls us to come and die, that was written in a concentration camp that he was a prisoner of. As the Allies liberated Germany 1 week before his concentration camp was liberated, he was martyred. What does it mean for us today? I don't know. But I do know that Jesus calls us to this radical life. Dying in him, with him on the cross. And that transforming us to be a people radically for others. In the name of God, amen.